Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. Here we are back at it again, back at the boot camp. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Continuing the conversation about emotional intelligence, we have the resident expert, Dr. Ben McCroy, bringing all the wisdom, all the knowledge, dropping it for us. So if you have any questions beyond this podcast, you can reach out to him. And I assure you, he's got it all figured out.
Jim, I wasn't expecting lies at the beginning of this podcast, but I appreciate the kind words. I'm a fellow journeyman. I'm trying to learn myself. But thank you,
so. Well, so in case somebody didn't listen to last episode, because this does build up on that, let's recap just a little bit before we dive deeper. Give us a definition of what is emotional intelligence.
Yeah, so kind of the technical definition of emotional intelligence is the ability to rightly perceive and manage your own emotions and to rightly perceive and respond to the emotions of others. That's kind of the standard. There's different variations. You know, people add a phrase or two to kind of make it their own, but that really is kind of the heart of, and then, you know, for the believer though, that is deeply connected to putting on the new self and growing in Christ's likeness. And Jesus really exemplifies and demonstrates that through the scriptures, that he was an emotional, intelligent person, that he walked with emotional intelligence when he was on the earth, that he was self-aware of his own emotions and managed them correctly, but he was also aware and perceived the emotions of his disciples and those around him and responded accurately as well. So for the Christian, emotional intelligence is growing in Christ's likeness and really walking in biblical wisdom.
Why is that an important conversation specifically for the audience of this podcast, which is ideally, you know, people in the work of church renewal at some level, trying to revitalize, replant, or help people who revitalize and replant is the primary target audience, at least, of this podcast. Why is this an important conversation for them to be a part of?
Yeah, that's a great question. Emotional intelligence is ultimately you're relating to other people. You're understanding and perceiving their emotions. You're expressing your emotions in a right way to them. And so you're relating to other people. And pastoring, replanting, ministry is people work. Like, we are involved in the work of shepherding people. There's a great book by Timothy Whitmer called The Shepherd Leader. He kind of walks through four areas that pastors should be. They should know the sheep, they should feed the sheep, they should lead the sheep, and they should protect the sheep or protect the flock. And all of those, knowing, feeding, leading, and protecting, emotional intelligence helps us to navigate that a little bit. To be an effective pastor, we need to understand not only our own emotions, but also help manage the emotions of others.
I love that. We talked about last episode. I mean, it seems to be a lack of emotional intelligence will, I think, give the devil a foothold to impede your ministry, whether that's impeding it starting. And we talked about, I've seen people who can't seem to get hired. And I'm not saying it's always a lack of emotional intelligence, but the majority of the time in my experience, the reason somebody won't get hired is a lack of emotional intelligence. And then when it goes kind of wonky in the middle, even like for me, when I hit some wonky moments in my pastoral leadership, it's almost always been where I lacked emotional intelligence. The hardest church members I've had to lead are people who've lacked emotional intelligence. And then the number one reason I've observed people get fired from ministry is a lack of emotional intelligence. And so I think this is an incredibly important conversation to have. One of the unique things you told me that you found in your research, I want you to dive into just a little bit for us, is the correlation of emotional intelligence to effectiveness and renewal seemed to be even higher than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so I'll try to abbreviate the boring details, but what I did in my research was I had a church health assessment that our state convention in North Carolina had developed that really measured six areas of church health so that revitalization didn't just equal numbers. Mm-hmm. So they were looking at concepts like passionate worship, the church's understanding of doctrine, the ability to empower leaders. There was a couple of others that they had that they were working through as well. But I used that church assessment, and then I combined it with an emotional intelligence assessment that's kind of a self-assessment that pastors could take. I surveyed pastors in three states, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And then what I did was the results of the church health assessment and the results of the emotional intelligence assessment, I compared using statistics. There was a strong statistically significant relationship between the emotional intelligence of a pastor and the current health of the church that he pastors. On overall, but also, you know, looking at several of the sub scales of emotional intelligence, there was a strong relationship. So that, you know, it shows that, hey, the ability to have these personal relationships and to be able to express what you're feeling and be aware of what you're feeling, but also be aware of what others are feeling, it showed that it could help in church health. Specifically, there were some ways that this was very evident. It showed the pastor's ability to shepherd the people well, showed the pastor's ability, I think, to help in leading change. We talked a little bit about that on the last episode. The pastor has compassion and understanding for those who are resistant toward change. It helps in conflict resolution and then even the casting of the vision for the future. And so, you know, the guy who kind of made emotional intelligence famous at a popular level, his name is Daniel Goleman. And he argued in all his writings and research that emotional intelligence is more important than IQ because it leads to more successful interactions with people. And so I think my research somewhat validated that as well, but from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, I think that's important for us to recognize and acknowledge that, because I think sometimes we can have a tendency to think, if I'm just good at preaching and, you know, good at strategy and good at theology and good at missiology, then I'm going to lead the church where it's supposed to go. And I will in my theology and missiology determine the right direction to lead this church. I will preach about that. I will lead by example, and the church just needs to follow my example. And it's one of those where you can be 100% right in what you say and 100% wrong in how you say what it is and how you lead it, and then doesn't get anywhere. And then you get to easily kind of make the people who didn't follow you the villains. You know, well, they just aren't willing to follow. You know, this church, these people are just, you know, they're the worst. And it's always interesting to me when pastors go into a church in need of revitalization or replanting and seem surprised by the level of spiritual immaturity. Because I'm always like, why? I don't know why you're surprised by this. Like, like, surely you realize this church didn't get to the point that it's at because people were being spiritually mature and emotionally intelligent and walking in the spirit and in the fruit of the spirit. That's not how we got here. What you signed up for was not just strategic organizational change through good theology and preaching. You signed up for shepherding, leading, discipling people who need to be matured in these areas. You've got to have some strong emotional intelligence in order to do that. It's going to be challenging for your emotions. You're going to experience challenging emotions. If you don't factor in the emotional aspect of this, you're headed for a train wreck.
Yeah, that's right, Jimbo. You're absolutely right. That is, so many times guys think, hey, if I just preach the word, change will happen. There's a book, I'm sure you've read it. It's called Patient Catalyst. It's all about church revitalization. It's a guy in New England. His name is Jack Daniel, I think is his name. He suggests that pastors who identify with the drama and emotions in the scriptures and then convey those feelings to their congregation, they're the ones who are the most effective at replanting and revitalization. Even the ability to teach the word of God in the right way, to rightly divide the word of God. The Bible's an emotional book. And so we need to understand the emotion that's happening in the text and then convey it to the people that we're ministering to. It does impact everything. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to teach this, but the most effective teachers understand how to deliver information in a way that emotionally connects with the people there.
Yeah, right. For our listeners, I would hearken back to an episode I did with Mike and Daniel Blackaby on their book that just came out, Straight to the Heart. And that's the whole appeal of that book is how do we tap into not just the rationale of what we're preaching, but the heart side, the emotional side, because we've shifted culturally from more of the head-based rational thinking to the heart-based emotional, how the vibe, the feel, and how it's not unbiblical for us to consider that and think through how do we appeal to the heart when we preach and when we lead. For a lot of people listening, maybe hopefully we have engendered a desire to see this as important. I feel like we've laid that groundwork well. And so hopefully at this point they're going, man, I wonder where I'm at. Like, how emotionally intelligent am I? And so one, go ahead and tell us what the paid version is that you use for somebody that wants to spend the dollars, knowing this is not a paid sponsorship. You don't get a royalty or anything. But then if somebody doesn't want to pay, let's talk about after that, how could you assess without that?
Sure. So the emotional intelligent inventory that I used for my research is called the Genos, G-E-N-O-S-E-I inventory, emotional intelligence inventory. It's an organization that's completely committed to researching emotional intelligence. They're the group that kind of defined the 7 factors of emotional intelligence that we referred to in the last episode. It was free for me because it was academic research. So you can do academic research with it for free, but I think there is a cost to it if you try to do it on your own. There's more popular level ones that you could do. There's a great book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. It's written by business leaders, Travis Bradbury and Gene Graves, I think are their names. If you buy a copy of that book, there's an emotional intelligence inventory in there. You get 2 opportunities to take that, like kind of one on the front end and then one after you've implemented some of the skills that they're arguing for. I don't honestly know of a lot of free emotional intelligent assessments. I know you guys at NAM have one, the Am I a Replanter assessment kind of addresses some of those things and provides some feedback in that area as well. So,
excellent. So those are some ways you could kind of get, if you want a survey, what are some other ways, Ben, that if somebody goes, I don't want to take one of those. And even if you do take those, I think you need to take some of these other steps. What are some other steps people can take to get greater self-awareness in their emotional intelligence?
Yeah. So this is a great question. You know, emotional intelligence really does rest on the concept of self-awareness. And we as Christians know that sometimes our heart will deceive us into thinking things that we're not. And so the best way to pursue that, the best way to grow in self-awareness, which is, if you wanted to use a more biblical term, to grow in humility, where we're willing to grow and acknowledge that there's some weaknesses in our life. The best way, there's several ways to do that. The first is, I think, pursue the scriptures and study the scriptures, ask God to examine your heart and reveal areas in your heart that might not be right and aligned with his character. But again, we often can deceive ourselves and talk ourselves out of that. So I would say closely related to that is finding a trusted source, someone who is effective at relating to people and understanding others, and just ask them some questions about, hey, do you see anything in my life that would hinder fruitful, effective ministry? You know, we're, as preachers, oftentimes we're willing to receive feedback on, hey, how could I have addressed the preaching differently? But we're not necessarily always proactively seeking out people to say, hey, how can I relate in that situation a little bit better?
Yeah.
I would encourage people to find somebody they trust and ask some of those questions. And then with the humility and self-awareness, be willing to receive some of that correction.
Yeah, that humility piece, I think, is an incredibly important part of this conversation, because one, you have to have the humility to be able to ask that question, but it's a whole nother level of humility to actually be willing to listen to the answer. And it's like there's one level that's like, hey, I'm willing to ask a question like that. But to honestly really be ready to hear the answer and do something about it is a different level. And so don't just make sure you're ready to ask the question. Make sure you're ready to receive the response that you're going to get. Because here's the thing I've learned about self-awareness over, it's become a really important part of my life, is there's a lot of things you are just not aware of. And so it may be a shock to your system for somebody to tell you something that feels like, that can't be that. No, that's not, that can't be, that's not me. I don't feel like, but you have to understand what it's like to be on the receiving end of you. Like, you don't know what it's like to be on the other. It's like, if you have bad breath, you don't necessarily know you have bad breath until somebody's nice enough to love you and tell you, hey, just so you know, you may want to get a mint or chew some gum or something. Cause like, you're like,
no, that's exactly.
And here's the deal. To be honest, you want to be like, you're a jerk. Like, they're not a jerk. That's actually very kind of them to tell you.
They're trying to help.
Tell. One of the things I tell people to do sometimes is pick a personality profile. I honestly don't care. I mean, I'd kind of care which ones. There are some that are better than others. You know, pick something pretty standard, like DISC, that's easy to understand. And here's the thing. I'm not even as concerned with how accurate it is to who you are, because I firmly believe that personality is actually not a fixed thing. And that's a whole nother conversation that we could have. I honestly think the way we portray and understand our personality is a part of our emotional intelligence and self-awareness. And there is some natural wiring to it, but it's not as fixed as we think it is. So that part's not as important. As there's going to be in the description, you're going to get to download some sort of report, and it's going to give you a list of strengths and a list of challenges. And that's where that same person that you're willing to ask that question of what would hinder me from fruitful ministry, somebody knows you well, like your spouse, your best friend, your pastor, somebody knows you well, ask them to sit down with you long enough over a cup of coffee and literally read through that list and tell you, like, is this accurate? Like, this estimation of my weaknesses or this estimation of my strengths, are these accurate things? Because that honestly is what initiated my journey of self-awareness, was the first time I ever took a personality profile. And there were a lot of weaknesses and challenges on there that I was not aware of. And it took my wife and other loving people to go, no, that's pretty accurate. That's, yeah, you definitely do struggle with that. Like, that comes across. Like, you, yeah, that sentence describes you well. And it was hard for me to hear that and go, really? Like, that's, I did not know that that was true of me. But you can't get insight without somebody else's perspective. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs, pursuing insight. And you have to get somebody else's perspective in order to do that. So there's not like a guaranteed way to do this, but you need it. You need, and I would honestly say step one to growing in emotional intelligence is self-awareness of where your pitfalls are.
Absolutely.
How else can we grow? Let's, with the few minutes we have left, I mean, like, if somebody goes, okay, I hear you, I need to grow in this. How else, what can we do to grow in our emotional intelligence?
Yeah, I can think of three more that we haven't addressed, and I'll just mention them real quickly. So first of all, like, commit to following the example of Jesus. Mm. Like, we follow Jesus as Lord of our life, but he also provides an example of what a true emotional intelligence is. He, as you read the Gospels, Jesus is very aware of what he's feeling. Mm. And he expresses it in the right way at the right time to the right people. Like, he tells his disciples the night before his crucifixion, my soul is very troubled. You know, he's expressing it in a right way. He's self-aware of what he's feeling, but then he's also aware of what the crowds and the disciples are feeling. You know, so how often through the Gospels does it say that Jesus perceived their hearts? Mm. Now, I used to read that and say, well, he's God. He knows everything. Of course, he's perceiving their hearts. But he's also fully human. And so could it be that he just was living out, what does it look like to understand what people are thinking and going through? He's reading verbal cues and nonverbal cues. Mm. And so I would say commit to follow Jesus, the example of Jesus, and grow in that. A second one that's really, really important to me and that I just think is helpful for us, especially as pastors and as ministry leaders, is to commit to reflect on our own emotions. Mm. Just to consider you know, to slow down and feel what were actually happening. You know, the good ways for this to happen is through journaling. You could write down your thoughts and express what's going on. Then you're able to look back and say, wow, I was in a not so good place, or I was in a dark, you know, that helps us grow in reflecting and self-awareness. For our audience specifically, in the work of replanting, there's going to be things that cause a lot of stress and angst and even anger in our hearts, yeah. Right? It's good for us to slow down and say, why am I angry about this? You know, am I angry because no one came to church on Sunday? Or am I angry because, you know, that they're resisting the gospel? Or am I angry because it's making me look bad, right? Like there's just a little bit of self-reflection that's helpful there. And in the same way, why am I feeling so good after this Sunday? Nothing else happened different, but we had more people this Sunday than we had last Sunday, right? And if we're not careful, we can start making our emotions respond to things that God did not intend to drive our emotions. And so I think we need to not only ask for feedback, but we also need to just commit to the work of reflecting on our own emotions. Like, why am I happy about this? Why am I angry about this? Why am I so, you know, why is my soul downcast within me? And there's a lot there that we could talk about more. But the third thing that I would say is another helpful reason is, or another way to grow is to be involved in the life of the local church. Serve and minister, especially if you're someone who's looking to pastor and you can't get hired or just haven't had the opportunity. Be faithful where the Lord has you now and serve in the body of the local church. Because that's going to do a couple things. That's going to provide other leaders that you're around that you can emulate and learn from. It's also going to provide a greater context for more feedback in those ways that you can grow in those areas. Yeah.
Man, that's such a good word. I think this is such an important discussion in this world because it's, like I said, it just seems to be one of the biggest ways that Satan gets a foothold in our ministry, to prevent us from doing ministry, to impede the effectiveness of our ministry, or to end our ministry. It's not that we need to be subservient to our emotions and people's emotions, but the reality is, if we try to take, because I know some people go like, well, let's trust the Lord and follow what the Lord says to do, and just be obedient, whether your emotions feel like you want to be obedient or not. And I would say, exactly. And that's actually what we're saying, because the reality is if you don't intentionally focus on your emotional intelligence in a biblical, let's be like Christ in this type way, then your emotions actually will end up being what drive you and you just won't realize it. And you'll lack the self-awareness to know that your emotions are what's pushing you. It's even like with personality profiles, when guys take those and it'll say something like, you're very abrupt and direct, you know, something like that. And they'll go, well, that's just how God wired me. I'm like, that's a really lazy response. That's like, that's how the fall wired you.
You've been rewired.
That's not how the Lord wired you. That's why we have to take that and submit it to the Lord. And that requires this level of self-awareness and self-reflection. It's honestly, I think part of it's constantly asking, like, have I put myself and my emotions in the driver's seat, or have I submitted that to Christ and let him be in the driver's seat? Because part of like that, I love the questions. He's like, why am I angry? Well, probably I'm angry because you messed up my plans. I had a way I wanted this to go, and you're not submitting to me. Or the Lord's not submitting to me. The Lord's not making this go the way I want it to go. And the Lord needs to line up with what I want. And that's where what I realized, I started this journey years ago of self-awareness and trying to grow in this. That was part of what I realized is I had ideas and I needed everybody else and the Lord to line up with my ideas. And this journey has taught me, and I'm still learning it, like I have to take all of that and I just have to submit that to the Lord. And maybe God has an entirely different way he wants us to go. And am I emotionally ready to just submit and just trust him in that?
Yep. No, that's right. If the Lord loves us so much that he sent his son to pay the price for our sins and to reconcile us to himself, I think if we can trust him with our eternal salvation, we can trust him with the sanctification of our heart and our feelings and our emotions as well. sometimes this is just the Lord asking us to surrender to Him and trust Him and to grow in Christ's likeness.
That's good. Hey, will you close us by praying that we could all grow in that specifically?
Absolutely. Father, we are grateful for your grace in our lives. We're grateful for the fact that you have redeemed us and saved us and covered us with the righteousness of Christ. We are all fallen and all have blind spots in our lives. God, I ask that you would, by the power of your Spirit, expose those and help us to grow in conformation to the image of Christ, and that we would put on the new self and walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And as a result, that we would grow as our ability as pastors and as leaders and as ministers for your glory's sake, for your church's sake, to see the church led in a way that is effective and fruitful in ministry. And God, we praise you for all that you have done and will do. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.